thank you for giving. All right, am I there? I'm there. Good. I don't want to get tangled up. Get a little running room here. Thank you. You'd think I was at the gas station, wouldn't you? Someone was going to put in gas, and one of the guys said this week said, go ahead and check the oil and the tires, please, and the battery. Well, they used to do that, you know, self-service. Tom, it's good to have you here. This is Tom Riley. He was with us almost from the beginning of Calvary Commission. Moved away to another city, but he's back through here, and we're so glad to have you with us today. 25 years ago, about this time in the summer, we were praying about having a local church in Tyler. We had done churches in Mexico and Belize. We said, but there's a need in our own city. We had people energetic, zealous, full of fire to go out and win the lost for Jesus. We said at first we only wanted those people that we could win to the Lord. We didn't want people from other churches. Another pastor said, just receive who God sends and minister to them. We've been trying to do that for 25 years almost. And by October, we had found a place that we could rent. And it was noised abroad that we were starting a new church, an inner city church in Tyler. This place was here then. It was already here then. We just didn't know what all God had in mind. I mean, probably about 1990, it was a club by then. It started out as a fancy restaurant. It was started out as a beautiful mansion home with a drive through it. And these places back here where our brothers live was like the caretaker's quarters. But we began to see that God was leading us to that rented building. And we've seen many people touched since then. And I just want to say thank you for being with us today in the 2015 version of Church of Living Hope. We called it Hope Christian Fellowship. And I have to be real careful sometime not to call it that because I did that for a number of years. But we're blessed to, when we moved here, we said, I think it needs to have church on it now. And I guess we've grown into that. So let's pray for the message this morning. Lord God, this morning we pray and we cry out to you. Lord, I pray this morning that you would allow me to speak the truth that is needed for this congregation and for guests that might be here with us today, that you would give us that ability to receive. Open hearts, open ears. Help me, Lord, to speak the truth in love. And all that is happening, Lord, today, that we would be in preparation for the future. We know, God, that we are able to walk with you and you're going to be with us. You'll never leave us nor forsake us, and that we have you and that you are our strength in time of need. Help us, we pray, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we sang it this morning, not by chance, because I asked them to. I'm trading my sorrow. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying it down for the joy of the Lord. If you were here last Sunday, well, you heard me speak about the joy of the Lord, and the joy is our strength. And this song says, I'm trading my sorrow for the joy of the Lord. It's an asset that we can have as a believer. It's part of our package plan of abundant life. He said, the thief come but to steal, kill, and destroy, but I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so in this abundant life that he's given us, well, joy is one of the benefits of a life that is lived with continual repentance and with clean hands and a pure heart, and we are able to see the joy of the Lord. It says, I'm trading my sickness, I'm trading my pain for the joy of the Lord. You heard the testimony of right on the streets of León, Guanajuato, Mexico, that a lady was healed right there. And so we certainly believe in healing. And I think we'd have more of that if we didn't have hospitalization, didn't have 911, we didn't have free ambulance service for some. we'd have more people. I've got to do that. I've got to call upon the name of the Lord. My dad had gone to a fellowship meeting, and I was about 5 years old, and it had rained, and there was water in the ditch, and we were wading in the ditch. And all of a sudden, well, I screamed, and this lady came out of the house. She got there before my mother did, and she picked me up, and a 2x4 came up with me. I had stepped on a big rusty nail. Well, what would you do today? Oh, tetanus shot. We didn't know anything about that. They called it soak it in coal oil. I think it was kerosene, but that's supposed to take care of it. And my dad was gone, so my mom just prayed, and when he got in, I was well. Mama's prayers and a little aspirin or something like that may do the trick. And it says, I'm trading my sickness, I'm trading my pain, I'm laying it down for the joy of the Lord. And then we said, yes, Lord, si, Señor. I'm pressed, but not crushed. Listen to this, persecuted, but not abandoned. We may know a little bit more about that. Struck down, but not destroyed. There's people that have had difficulties, tribulations, even falling away, but they've been able to come back. Don't you believe in restoration? Hallelujah. Sometimes restoration means restitution, means repentance. A lot of those are words. I'm blessed beyond the curse, for his promise will endure, and his joy is gonna be my strength. I've been using that on my text messages. Don't write the going, just write gonna. I'm gonna. That's East Texas anyway. He's gonna be my strength. Though the sorrow may last for the night, what does it say? But joy comes in the morning. Regardless of yesterday, we can have joy today because our joy is in Jesus, and we are able to walk with him and to experience the joy of the Lord. I got this week. I think I read it somewhere. It probably wasn't original, but it said that our past is over. Our future is spotless. Think about it. If right now, the next 60 seconds you did not sin, it would be spotless, right? See, we can do something about our future. Maybe our past, we can't do a lot about it because it's there, and it's if you've repented, it's gone. It's under the blood. It's there. We can be healed of past hurts and past pain and wounds, but the future is spotless. You see why I say there is hope? I want to tell you this morning, joy is a choice. Joy is a choice. It's something that we can choose to have, or we can stay down. We can stay in that spirit of heaviness. That's not heaviness, that's heaviness, that we can exchange that for the joy of the Lord. And spirit of heaviness, we can get our prison can turn into praise because we can have the joy of the Lord. I want to share with you this morning some of the ways to keep that joy, and I'm calling the message joyful communication. If we have joyful communication, if we have agape communication, that we are able to glad I'm not ticklish with my ear. Thank you. All right. I've got more joy now, Robert. Thank you. If we're going to have joy, if we're going to have joyful communication, then we've got to be edifiers instead of de-edifiers. I don't know if that's a word or not. But we've got to be edifiers. We've got to understand the power of edification. I had a guy at Teen Challenge. I would say, how are you doing? He said, getting better. Well, that was a positive way to live, you know. It was an edifying way to live. The power of edification. 1 Corinthians 14:26 says, let all things be done for edification. Let all things be done for edification. That means that we are to be givers of hope. We're to edify people. We're to be able to lift them up. We're to speak the truth in love to where that they can receive what God is saying to them. Edifying, edification. An edifice is a building. if you understand the model I'm talking about, let's look at how a building is built, the construction of a building. First of all, it starts with an architect. It starts on paper. It's that which is there. First of all, just visualizing from paper. I learned vision back in my early days when I couldn't sleep one night, and I got up and went to the kitchen table and got a piece of paper, and I drew a pickup truck as best I could. Some of these guys are better artists than I would ever be. But I put on the side Foss's Fine Foods. Well, I had a desire to be in business. And you know, as I wrote that down, eventually that came to pass. And that truck used to go up and down this street here. It used to be parked right up there where Taco Bell is, right on the other side of that. That's where the business was that we first had there. But it started with a drawing. It started with a vision. It started with that. And then comes the foundation of the building. Actually, I didn't build that building. They built it, leased it to me, and we paid for it several times, I'm sure, and it's still being paid for. They're still leasing it out to somebody up there. But it started with a foundation, and then comes up the walls in our building next door. Well, after that, you know, plumbing went in, and then the walls came up, and then the roof came on, and the windows came in, and we're almost finished. We need a little help. We need some financial help. We need some material hands to help us finish it. We had the roof, then the interior. The completion of the building finally will be there. And it was building it up. It was edifying, constructing. And we need to be people of construction. Romans 14:19 says, it talks about the law of love. Therefore, let us pursue things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another. We have as our motto this year, our theme for the church, serving together. We had members one of another that we are able. I do believe why this church is so, and when I say church, you know, I'm talking about a congregation. Why this congregation is so into fellowship. It's not just the coffee and donuts, but thank you, Virginia, for serving them. But it's because we have a desire to help one another, to serve one another, to lift up one another. It's called the law of love. It says that we need to pursue. And so if joy is a choice, if peace is a choice, then we have to pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Ask yourself when you walk away from a conversation, did I edify them? Did I encourage them? Is their day better because I came into the picture? See, Paul wrote this, and he had people that were not peaceful with one another, I'm sure. And so he said, pursue the things which make for peace, the things by which one may edify another. Romans 15, one chapter over. That's easy to turn to. Chapter 15, verse 2. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good. Ask yourself, is what I'm doing, what I'm saying, is it for the person's good? It says leading to edification. So when we choose for the highest good of our neighbor, that's what agape love is. It's choosing for the best, choosing for the highest good, choosing for the highest good of God, for his whole universe, his creation. You know, you get full of the love of God, it's hard to kill roaches. It really is. No, you probably need to. But that's what agape is. It's choosing for the highest good. It says for his neighbor, and that means that person beside you, for his good, for her good, leading to edification. A few more scriptures on this. 1 Corinthians 10:23 and 24 says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. You might say, but I've just got to get it off my chest. That's just the way I am. If that's the way you are, that's the way you need to change. Because we have enough problems in our world, and I do believe in the coming days, we're going to have more and more members one of another. When I got to Romania the first time, I could not believe. They'd just been right out of a revolution, so they still had that communistic thing. They knew who they could trust. In fact, what they would do, they would leak a little information. When they heard it again, they knew who they couldn't trust, because they knew that somebody wouldn't tell what they said or tell what they did. And it was so beautiful, because at that point in time, you did not knock on a believer's door. You opened the door and walked in. If it was to use the telephone, you just went to the phone. If they came in the room, you said service and spoke to them, and they knew who you were. They knew why you were there. Their door was open to you. Sometimes it kind of got a little difficult if they came all upstairs and went in the bedroom, but it was really a trust factor. It was that which they believed in, because they had learned to trust one another. It says, let not one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. One thing that describes all sin is the sin of living for self. It says we don't seek our own. We seek for another's well-being. Even if it's a sacrifice on our part, we seek for the other's well-being. 1 Thessalonians 5, chapter 5, verse 9 through 13. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Together. Look sometimes at every place the Bible has together. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another. Comfort means to take away pain. And so we comfort each other to edify one another, which you're doing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And so it's okay to esteem your leaders and to compliment and so on. I heard about a person every Sunday when the pastor would be shaking hands. He would say, Pastor, that was a warm sermon. He'd say, thank you. God bless you. And the next Sunday, Pastor, that was a warm message. And he'd say, thank you. God bless you. He scratched his head one day and looked up the definition of warm, and it said, not so hot. Well, Brother Glasscock out at Lindale said, that was a good message, but I've never heard a bad one yet. So what he believed, if the word was being preached, it was a good message, however it came out. It says, esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. And I just thank the Lord that in these 25 years that we've never had a church split. We've never had situations that I know of where a person sat over here because he didn't want to sit by this person, or sat over here because he didn't want to sit by this person, or sat in the middle because he didn't like either one. I don't think we've been there. Be at peace among yourselves, it says. Be at peace among yourselves. So how can we have a joyful communication? What has to take place in our hearts and in our minds and in our spirits and in our tongues that we could have joyful communication? Well, Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. You have to ask yourself, was that necessary, what I just said? Well, it was true. Was it necessary? Did it edify? Did the person need to hear that? Did it produce fear in their lives? I don't think we need to tell everything we see on the news, or maybe don't even look at the news. Because if it's producing fear in our youth, in our children, then we probably don't need to be talking about it. We need to be praying about it. It says that if we do what is good for necessary edification, it will impart grace to the hearers. Let me see it next slide. Y'all want to go get some coffee now? You want me to continue? We'll talk about the tongue a little bit. But I want to tell you that even though that's red lipstick, it has to do with men also, not just ladies. In fact, James 3, verse 8, you can take that off, thank you, it says, but no man can tame the tongue. I believe it means woman, but No man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. You see, if you're going to learn to have joyful communication, you're going to have to have, if there's poison there in your heart and your life, bitterness, there's a feeling that I've got to tell it, whether I've got to find somebody to spread this to, then it's going to be a poison to you. No man can tame the tongue. No person can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. In Acts 8:23, we call it poison again. It's Peter talking to Simon the sorcerer who came to him. He said, I see you're poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. So there's a poison that is there that causes the tongue to do its work in a wrong way. Acts 14:2, trying to stop a revival, it says the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. Who are the brethren? That's us. That's the body of Christ. Carla was talking about the unity she saw taking place there in Grants, New Mexico, among those tribal churches. How necessary that is. And yet we can poison others against the brethren. And they poison their minds against the brethren. Proverbs 6:12-19. A worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. He winks with his eyes. He shuffles his feet. He points with his fingers. Anytime you do this, you've got three fingers pointing back at you. And how can we tell a person that there's a splinter in their eye when we have a two before in ours? He points with his fingers. Perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually. He sows discord. What is sowing? Well, it's S-O-W, not S-E-W. It's sowing discord, which means planting things that will bring discord. Sometimes it's nothing out of the mouth. It's with the expression. Like, you don't have to say, you're sowing discord. It's like going at night and planting seeds when nobody sees you, but you're sowing discord. Therefore, his calamity will come suddenly. Suddenly, he shall be broken without remedy. Goes on in verse 16. It says, six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. One who sows discord among brethren. What does it say? God hates it. I ask you this morning, do you want to please God or you want to grieve God? You want to please him? Then we cannot be one that sows discord among brethren. It's enough to try to handle the world out there because we know that it's corrupt. We know it's getting worse every day. But we're going to have to be a people that cling together. We're knitted together in love, and we're not going to be a people that sows discord among the brethren. So what is sinful communication? Well, the Bible calls it gossip. We used to have social events at the church and little parties, you know. And one of the games we used to play was gossip. A lot of people play that game, I guess. But here's what it would be. You'd get in a circle, and the first person would whisper something, the next person would whisper it again, and by the time it got to the end, it would be totally different than what it started with. Maybe it started with clothes and it was hose. I don't know. But by the time it got there, it had been different. You see, gossip will always exaggerate, even if it's the same wording. Well, it's with a different emphasis. It's with a feeling of anger. And so we've got to have an understanding that gossip is sinful communication. Tale-bearing is where that you hear something, you say, I've got to go tell it. I got to go tell somebody what I heard, when it's not necessary. You have to ask yourself, is it necessary? Do they need to hear that? Will that edify them? Will that discourage them? Tale-bearing. Criticism is there. I saw a sign one time that said at a store, you know, you have those areas for customer service, and it said compliments. Oh, it said complaints and compliments are received here. Well, you know, most of the time it was complaints, but can you put that across your chest as a edifying believer? Compliments are going to be given. Compliments are going to be given. Now, there's a difference between criticism and this other word I'm going to talk about. Criticism is just saying, I don't like the way it's done, and I think that I could do better, and I think that this is something in you. That's just saying that I see something wrong. But ridicule is questioning someone's motives. And in tale-bearing or in criticizing, you move into ridicule, which says, well, I know that's why they do that, because la, 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 which is lying. It's lying. And I know we had a message by Tina a few weeks ago on lying, the sin of lying, that we are to believe in people and not question their motives unless you know absolutely and it's necessary to share that. To say, well, have you heard? You say, I don't tell them anything. I just ask them if they've heard about it yet. Okay, what is joy? Well, it comes from a clean heart. It comes from salvation. It comes from the Holy Spirit, the joy of the Lord. But there is a superficial joy. There's a superficial joy that can be through emotions, through, you know, the song says, if you want joy, you must dance for it. Well, you could be dancing. My dad said, I don't care how high you jump as long as you walk straight when you hit the ground. But it could be something that's just your emotions, and it will be superficial. It'll be temporary because it's not real. It's just something that you're doing. There is a superficial joy that comes from the thrill of spreading bad news. It's a thrill for me to go and spread this bad news. One of the first guys I ever worked with at Teen Challenge later fell away from the Lord, and his wife told me that she walked in one day and he was sitting on the bed with a hideous grin on his face, just happy, happy, happy as could be. And she looked at him. She said, what have you done? He said, I just stole a radio out of a police car. He was thrilled that he had gotten away with something. Had another guy tell me, I said, I've been on all types of drugs, but my greatest high is when I steal and get away with it. Isn't that similar to a thrill of telling something you shouldn't tell, or talking against somebody you shouldn't, or ridiculing someone, or telling something that maybe is not even true, but you heard it and you feel like you got to go tell it? It's called gossip, tale-bearing, criticism, ridicule. There's another one that's called slander. I want to show you something. This youth pastor, not Jason, but this youth pastor I heard about was driving down the road. Now, this was before texting. This was when people had to write down something. They didn't have a reminder on their phone that would sound like a choo-choo train and you could pick it up. Oh, yeah, I need to do that. That was before all these days. So it was when that the best way, they said, is a piece of paper and a short pencil that you could have. Well, he was near an intersection, and he thought about something, and he started to write it down, And here's what he did. Someone heard him. Someone saw him. What'd they do? Our youth pastor is smoking cigarettes. It's called slander. It's called slander. I don't know if he got discouraged and quit or what, but you know my point, that he was able to be destroyed in his reputation over someone that thought they saw something and didn't, but felt like they had to go tell it. And of course, if that had gone to him, he could have said it was a white pencil. It was a white pencil in my mouth, and tell him the truth. Slander. What does it do? I heard of another situation where some well-meaning people were praying for inner healing in this person, and they said, the Spirit tells me that talking to the Father, you abused your daughter. It ended up that finally got cleared out after his divorce, after the total, that's slander. That's slandering someone. You know, we believe in church discipline here. Some of the discipline can take place in the quietness and the privacy of the pastor's office because it can be handled in that way. Other things have to be brought before the congregation because the person has to be marked as an unrepentant one that has been warned, has been effort tried, but there's a right way to do these things. The Bible is very scriptural, and it's, these things I just mentioned, gossip, tale-bearing, criticism, ridicule, slander, they're biblical. They're biblically wrong. Proverbs 11:13 says, a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. It conceals a matter. I don't need to share that. I don't need to tell that. 1 Timothy 5:13 says, besides, they learn to be idle, wandering from house to house, not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. 1 Timothy 5:13 says, besides, they're likely, this is today's Living Bible, besides, they're likely to be lazy, spend their time gossiping around house to house, getting in other people's business. Proverbs 10:18, whoever hides hatred has lying lips, but whoever spreads slander is a fool. You say, Pastor Joe, can't you preach on something that'll edify us? Well, I'll get there in a minute. I've been very grieved as I saw a brother fall into sin. And as it became more of a public matter, I became more grieved when I saw social media pick it up, which I will call sinful media, and have people calling that hadn't been around in years. Hey, I just heard that. I'm so, what can I do? Are y'all falling apart up there? This type of thing. That totally a personal grief to see that bad news travels so fast and that people seem eager for someone to mess up. We need to be eager for a person to make it. And we need to be grieving if they don't, or if they fall into sin. And we need to realize that even then, the Scripture says that he who began a good work, and if it's any form of people repenting, coming to the Lord, it's a good work. He who began a good work will be with that person. And they belong to Jesus. And what should be done? Intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer. And I believe that's why that restoration took place, is because there were people that, instead of trying to spread the bad news, they began to be grieved and heartbroken and pray for the people that were involved. And that is the right way that we can have that. And be very careful what you post on media. It's out there in the world. It's out there in cyberspace. It's hard to ever really take it back. And be very careful. If you want to do something every day, put a scripture. That's what people need. put a scripture. But you see, we don't have to live this way. We can have an agape heart. We can have a heart of love. We can have that heart. Luke 6:45 says, a good man out of good treasure of his heart brings forth good. Everyone say good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. Say evil.
Evil.
For out of the abundance of a man's heart, his mouth speaks. And so it's a heart issue. So do we have an agape tongue or destructive tongue? Revelations 12, 10 and 11. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength for the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before God day and night has been cast down. So who is the accuser of the brethren? The devil, Satan himself. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony and did not love their lives to the death. So we recognize that we cannot join forces with the accuser of the brethren. I heard about this lady that finally realized she had a problem. And she came forward to the pastor and she said, I want to put my tongue on the altar. Well, he knew the lady. He knew her problem. And he said to the deacons, would y'all come help me? It's so long, it's going to hang off the end of the altar, you know. Well, we do need to put our tongue on the altar. James 3. I had a young man at the Teen Challenge Ministry, and did he ever? He could not say anything without cutting somebody down. And I went to him with this scripture, and finally, I would just look at him like this. He'd say, James 3. James 3, 2. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is perfect man, able also to bribe the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us. We turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they're so large and are driven by fierce winds, they're turned by every small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue, as a little member, that's why that the baptism of the Holy Spirit wants to baptize your tongue too, and boast great things. See how great a forest little fire kindles? In a forest, a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets our own fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. This is not my words, it's the word of God. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our God and Father. Isn't that why we gather and we have that praise song and then we pray and then we continue and hopefully moving into worship, which means that we are acknowledging who God is and we're praising him and that our tongue is being used to bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless your holy name, O Lord. It says, or with it, we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. And so every person is so important to God. Every person is precious in his sight. We should cherish the treasure of who every person is. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. You see, the opposite of edification is demolition. It's demolishing. It's tearing down. But the opposite of destruction is construction. Opposite of construction is destruction. But the opposite of destruction is construction. And we recognize that Psalm 52, verse 2 through 4 says, your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor working deceitfully. You love evil more than good, lying rather than speaking righteousness. You love all devouring word, you deceitful tongue. And so there's things that we need to recognize are joy stealers. If we're going to have the joy of the Lord, that we're preaching about that we need for our strength, then we've got to tame the tongue. We've got to be able to bless instead of devour. We put off these things and put on the right things. Colossians 3:8 says, "But now you brethren are to put off all these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth." You say, well, that means to stop cursing and using those bad words. Well, it means that too. But it means what I'm talking about this morning. It means sinful communication coming out of your mouth, that we have got to put off that. Do not lie to one another, since you've put off the old man and his deeds. So we put off, but we also put on. Ephesians 4:22 through 24, that you put off concerning the former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. That we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Turn to Psalms. Psalms 15. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. It says, who is going to abide in the presence of the Lord? In the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. At his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. But if we have sinful communication, it says that we're not going to be in his presence. We're not going to be led by the Spirit. We'll be in his flesh. We'll be in our flesh. And we will speak evil to his neighbor. We'll take up a reproach against a friend. We will despise. We will do those things because we haven't handled this. Psalm 19:14 says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and redeemer." That's what I will call joyful communication. It's where that the words of our mouth, the meditation of our heart, is acceptable in his sight. And that way he is our strength and our redeemer, and that we can have the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. I'm going to ask, we're going to sing that song again. Hannah, maybe Joe. Why don't we stand? I'm trading my sorrow, I'm trading my shame. I'm laying it down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness, I'm trading my pain. I'm laying it down for the joy of the Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Can we say, yes, Lord? Ask you to let the Lord examine your heart this morning. And if there be anything there that would cause you to get a thrill out of tale-bearing, a thrill out of telling somebody else something they don't need to know, let the Lord deal with you right now. I'm pressed but not crushed, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. I'm blessed beyond the curse, for his promise will endure and his joy is going to be my strength. Sorrow may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Let's receive joy this morning through repentance, through change, through putting off, through putting on.
I'm trading my sorrows.
I'm trading my shame.
Lay it down.
I'm laying them down
for the joy of the Lord.
I'm trading my sickness.
I'm trading my pain.
I'm laying them down
for the joy of the Lord.
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes.
yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. I am pressed but not crushed, persecuted not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. I am blessed beyond the curse, for his promise will endure. His joy is going to be my strength. Though the sorrow may last for the night, his joy comes in the morning. I'm trading my sorrows, I'm trading my shame, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness, I'm trading my pain, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord.
Get it.
Yes, Lord, get yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. We say yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen.
I want to pray for you this morning, and then I want him to sing that song that we're going to sing, Amazing Grace, and then we're going to let the Lord speak, and we're going to go and put this to work. Father, this morning, we thank you, God, for your precious word. Lord, we know that you created us. Lord, you created us to bless your name, to bless one another. Lord, you created us to be those that will bring unity. Lord, that there will be that change in our lives that will allow us to be in unity one with another. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, to take this word that has been given this morning and apply it, because we all need it, Lord. We need to have a joyful communication. Lord, we need to communicate with you. We need to communicate with one another. We need to communicate with the world around us, Lord. We need to warn the wicked of their way, Lord. You said if we fail to do that, their blood is on our hands. But if we do that, then we've been relieved of that. So, God, we pray that we would be evangelists, that we would be the body of Christ edifying one another, that we would be building up this family of God to face all that's in the future, Lord God. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you can forgive our past. And right now, Lord, as we stand together, we just pray. Ask you to pray this prayer. Lord God, show me your way, O Lord. See if there be any wicked way in me and lead me to the truth, God. Lead me in the way everlasting, O God. Lord, that our past is forgiven and our future is spotless, Lord. We learn to walk with you. Lord, the Word of God is our way of life. It's our textbook. It's our roadmap. And we thank you for it, O God. Yes, Lord Jesus, we pray. Yes, God. Yes, God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Lord, we want to pray for Randy Taylor, Randy and Teresa, Lord, that had a heart attack and had two stents put in and possibly goes home today. Lord, we pray for him. We thank you, Lord, for his many years of faithfulness here at Church of Living Hope and Hope Christian Fellowship, Lord, from that very first Sunday. God, we ask you to give him that strength, that healing in his heart, we pray. Jesus, our Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's sing Amazing Grace. You know it? That's right. They know it in prison.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind.
my heart to him, embrace my fears, relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free.
Be set free this morning.
My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, his mercy rings. Unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, endures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. As long as life endures. As long as life endures.
Just stand there a minute. David Coonan has something he wants to read that he wrote down this morning for the church.
Now it's green.
Awesome.
I get a green light. I received this about 5 years ago from the Lord, and I just believe it's applicable for us now. I wasn't speaking in tongues, I just didn't get that word right. I want to just say one short scripture before I read this. And this struck me the other day, and it just, it was a few days ago, and it's just, I can't seem to shake it. It's a very short verse, and it begins with a conjunction. It's 2 Chronicles 12:14. It said, he did evil because he did not set his heart to seek the Lord. That has been resounding inside of me. We have got to seek the Lord.
Amen.
In the time that's coming upon us. Trust me, trust me, trust me. My winds are blowing, they're winds of change, and there must be change. The winds will increase. Trust me. I'm shaking. I'm not shaking my people, but I'm shaking what is not of me. For they're removing. Release them and you'll not be shaking. They are things that are working death in you. I am shaking the things that you're trusting in. And as I shake, your vision will become more and more of a blur and confusion until you release what I'm shaking. But as you release what I'm shaking, your vision will become clearer and clearer, and the confusion will leave, and understanding will come. I'll be shaking your plans. I'll be shaking your ideas. I'll be shaking your desires. I'll be shaking your visions. I'll be shaking your idols. I'll be shaking your sin. As you release them, you'll be able to receive my plans, my ideas, my desires, my vision, my heart, and my burden. Don't allow these idols to remove you from my plans and purposes for you. Prepare the way for the Lord. The way to prepare is to release. Your response to my shaking will mean everything. Trust me, trust me, trust me. And we will do evil if we do not set our hearts to seek the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Precious Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, David.
Well, we've been with the Lord this morning in His presence. That in His presence is fullness of joy. We've heard what joy stealers are. We've had a word given to us about preparation. And so let's go and let's edify one another with fellowship and with the ability to go out and be light in a dark world and serve a great purpose. Stand your hand this way. I want to give this benediction this morning, this scriptural, that first of all, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. O ye Israel, Jehová nuestro Dios, Jehová uno es, y amarás a Jehová tu Dios de todo tu corazón y de toda tu alma y con todas tus fuerzas. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Jehová te bendiga y te guarde. Jehová resplandecer su rostro sobre ti y tenga de ti misericordia. Jehová alce sobre ti su rostro y ponga en ti paz. I bless you today and say, go and find a need and meet it. Find a hurt and heal it. Go and bless someone else. Go and encourage someone else. Go and be there and be hope to those around you this day. Bring joy to others. Not a superficial joy, but the joy that comes from the Holy Spirit within you. The joy that is there because you have got clean hands and a pure heart, and that your whole heart's desire is to bless the Lord and bless others. May you be blessed. Amen.